things first, putting first things first. There we go. So start of a new year, we like to try and start to plan for the year. But sometimes it's good to make sure that we put the first things first before we do anything else. So because we want to be able to build a platform on which we can build the rest of the year upon, so it's a bit more of a success. One of the things Jesus says is that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't store treasures for yourselves here on earth where moths and rust will destroy them and thieves can break in and steal them. And that's why you got arrested, Susan. But store your treasures in heaven where they cannot be destroyed by moth or rust and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Where your treasure is. No one can serve two masters. Now, skip a few verses there. The person will hate one master and love the other, or follow one master and refuse to follow the other. You cannot serve both God and worldly riches. So I tell you, don't worry and say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? The people who don't know God, that's important, the people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your Father in heaven knows you need them. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants, then all your other needs will be met as well. And Sue actually prayed that in the worship this morning, that to just ask to say, God, what is it that you want from us? So help us not to do the things that we feel we need to do. You know, when we're following God's directive in putting his kingdom first, I believe when we have that kind of mindset, when we start to think about seeking first the kingdom of God, I think it shapes our thinking and we start to make decisions in the light of that focus. Because we want to seek first the kingdom of God, we start to assess all the decisions and opportunities that are out there in accordance with, does this fit in with the kingdom of God? If we have a seek first the kingdom of mindset, it shapes our decision making and our processes. Instead of just always doing what feels right at the time. A lot of times that's what we base our decisions on. We want to base our decisions based on what feels right, what looks right, what sounds right, rather than assessing and saying, does this fit in with seeking first the kingdom of God? Proverbs 29 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In the Message translation, it says there's the same verse, but in the Message translation, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Friends, when we can't see what God is doing, when we don't have a seek first the kingdom of God mentality, we tend to stumble all over ourselves because we aren't sure about where we should be going and what we should be doing. It's kind of like we're trying to, what's going to make me feel good? What's going to be right? And we become uncertain. We start to second guess ourselves. But when we start to put in perspective what God wants, it says in that translation, it says we live under the blessing of God. When we seek first the kingdom of God, we are blessed. So it's simple. Do what God is doing. Do the things that God calls us to do first, and we will be blessed. Do what we think is more important, and we will stumble all over the place and lose our way. You know, the history of manufacturing and business is that a lot of successful big brand businesses have at times lost their way, lost focus, and gone into some failures. The 24/7 Wall Street paper reviewed some of the greatest mistakes some of the large brand name companies have made over the years. And they've looked at things like, I didn't know that this existed, a thing called Google Glass. I didn't know that existed. What about this Burger King Satisfries? That sounds really good, but I don't think we had that here in Australia. These ones we knew. The new Coke or Windows Vista. And so many of these product failures were the result of the company losing its focus as to what they do best. Another example that's there is this one from Colgate, who put out a pre-prepared frozen meal line introduced in 1982. The problem was Americans couldn't disassociate Colgate's toothpaste from their frozen meal section, and so no one really wanted to buy into it because their lasagna tasted pepperminty, apparently. So, then, yes, really, I've got the microphone. In 1979, Clairol brought out a touch of yogurt shampoo. They were a shampoo line. They bought a touch of yogurt shampoo, which caused confusion as some people started eating their shampoo for breakfast. See, what the problem was, they started eating the shampoo and they started to give them a wrong sensation in their mouth. And so they went over to the tap and started putting water in it and their mouth started frothing, and then suddenly the Pentecostal Deliverance Ministry was birthed. But that's another story. So people, you know, but in America they tend to not associate a lot of things anyway. So the thing is this, in 2024, there's a lot of opportunities out there that we can follow after. The year is young. Good ideas that seem profitable and a great opportunity for us. But what we've got to do is get back to what God calls us to do, to seek first, to find out what we need to attend to first before we start adding all these other things to our life. Making the kingdom of God a priority for our life is one of the greatest decisions we could make for ourselves, because it changes the way we think, it changes the way we see life, and it changes the way we assess the opportunities before us. And I think this is what Jesus was addressing when he said in Matthew 6:33, he said he was actually giving us a definitive guide to living life. That for as a human race, to live a rich and fulfilling life, to live in the blessing of God, we must be a people who have as our focus and as our priority the kingdom of God. There's no secondary to this. And this is just not a spiritual principle that applies to the Christians, to churchgoers. I believe that this is a philosophical, this is a social, this is a moral, this is economic directive for the whole of the human race. If every person on the face of the planet, if every government, if every kingdom, if every tribe and nation focused on seeking first the kingdom of God, this world would be totally different than where it is today. And the only way that anybody can find true meaning and purpose for their existence is for them to start looking to see how they can help build the kingdom of God. Regardless of whether we find ourselves in the scientific field, medical, intellectual, spiritual, even if you're just a process worker, even if you're just working on the line, if you're a baker or a candlestick maker, whatever we are doing and working at, this must all be done with the idea, with the thought that I'm doing this to help build up the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what sort of field you find yourselves in, what sort of work you're doing. You come before God and say, God, you've given me this job. How can I use this to help build up the kingdom of God? And if what we are doing isn't being used to help benefit the kingdom of God, then it's just a waste of time. I want to put this disclaimer out. Every job out there can be of use and benefit for the kingdom of God. It's not a case of changing careers. It's a case of finding the right motivation and focus on whether the job that we find ourselves and employed in can be used for God's purposes. And I believe every job can. And when you compare this to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says this, it's died on me. It was going so well. John 10. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When you put these two verses together, to seek first the kingdom of God and then live life to the full, they are linked together. This means it's the same message. When we seek first the kingdom of God, we are living life in all its fullness. The world will tell us differently. The world will tell you that you need to pursue your dreams and make it on your own in order to become someone of significance. So in the light of what the world is telling us, we have to decide whether what God is saying to us is true, without a shadow of doubt, that we are blessed when we seek first the kingdom of God, or whether there is actually more out there in the world than what we've got. There has to come a point in our life where we have to decide, God, I believe what you're saying is true. That when I seek first the kingdom of God, I will be blessed and I will live life to the full. Or you have to choose the other side and say, okay, I don't believe God, I'm going to go after it myself. At some point, we have to make a decision. Because I tell you what, the world will try to convince you otherwise. So seeking first the kingdom of God is a question of how much faith do we have to believe that seeking first the kingdom of God is the best and right and only decision we need to make despite all the temptations, despite all the opportunities that are out there in the world. And so seeking first the kingdom of God means that we must be convinced that God is good and all that he does is good. Psalm 119 says, you are good and what you do is good. Teach me your demands. We have to come to that point and start to recognize, do I really believe that God is good? If I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, do I truly believe that all that God does is good? See, the Bible says that God is good and all that he does is good. And this means that God will provide everything that we need to live a healthy and happy and fulfilling life, because it's the good and right thing to do for his people, especially when we're working for his kingdom to come on the earth, right? God believes in happy worker, good productivity. If you commit yourself to seek first the kingdom of God, I believe God will get behind you and will be good to you, and all that he does will be good for you. And God showed this when he created Eve for Adam. I'm going to get a little bit controversial here. Hang in there. Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for him that is right for him. So the creation of the woman for man shows how God wanted what was good for his worker, Adam. God created man to rule over the planet. And so God understood what Adam needed to help him get the job done. God saw the need that Adam had. God was the one who verbalized it first, and God was the one who did something about it. When we live a life in the pursuit of the kingdom of God, whatever we need to help us get the job done, it's just not necessarily just a woman, right? It's other things as well. Finances, health, open doors. Whatever we need to get the job done, God will recognize it even before you do. God will verbalize it before you do. And God will act on it to ensure that we are well looked after and content to help us accomplish the task at hand. One of the failures of the modern church has been in the choice of life partners, where people have been making decisions based on who they should hook up with, based on physical attraction and selfish needs. But God created a man and a woman so that they could become a partnership where they could work together to accomplish God's purposes on the earth. God created Eve as a helper for Adam. And now we're going to come to the sharing of our vows. I feel like I'm in a wedding. Woo! It's a good one for a wedding. So Eve was given as a helper to Adam because Adam needed help, right? He could not do the work himself. So we've distorted what God has done here and think that the woman was created to serve the man. Whereas God's intention was from the very beginning was to create both a man and a woman to serve the purposes of God together. So when we seek for a partner for our own selfish needs, I believe we are left to find our partner ourselves, because God will not supply for selfish needs. But if we're pursuing the will of God and the kingdom of God on the earth, then God will send us a helper. God will send us a partner, a life partner, so that we can be joined together to work together to fulfill God's kingdom and purposes on the earth. And friends, because God is good and all that he does is good, there is no need for us to try before we buy. We can trust God, knowing that the helper he sends to us is the perfect one for us. There is no try before you buy option. So to quote the word of the great prophetess Beyonce, because if you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. If you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. Don't be mad once you see what he wants. If you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. All right? Don't tell me we don't preach the whole counsel of God here. So God's promise is that when we seek first the kingdom of God, nothing that we need to help us get the job done will be spared us. And that nothing that we need to help us live a rich and fulfilling life will be denied, because God knows happy workers means a happy and productive kingdom. So in my marriage to Sue, the key to my marriage to Sue is that I am a sexy, sexy man. Sue told me to say that, but that's not... I'm preaching something. She wanted me to say that. But the key to our marriage is that we both have a unified purpose of seeking to build God's kingdom first. And as a result, you don't tell me you're here, mate. You just listen. No. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting carried away.
Get on with it.
We're in a partnership together. Yeah, now you're sounding like her. We're in a partnership together. Don't worry, Paul will tell me off tomorrow. And as a result, our partnership of working towards a common goal, so in the process, we try and look after each other to ensure that we get the job done well. God gave me Sue because I needed a partner so that together we could build and extend the kingdom of God on the earth. Sue is not helping me. We are working together. When we look to build God's kingdom on the earth, know that God is good and all that he does is good, and God will supply for you the person who is the right partner to help you do the job you've been called to do. So your belief in the goodness of God is an issue of trust and faith. Can we trust God to deliver on his promises, that if we seek first the kingdom of God, that he will provide for every need? Are we afraid that if we seek first the kingdom of God, that we are going to miss out on the right partner for us? That we're going to miss out on making good money? That we're going to miss out on having great friendships that we can enjoy? That miss out on having a prestigious and influential life? So many times it's like, oh, I don't know if I really commit myself to God, because, you know, he's going to send me off to Africa or whatever as a missionary or whatever. I'm going to miss out on good money, good career opportunities. My goodness, I've got to hang out with church people. But friends, we've got to keep coming back to this, is that God is good and all that he does is good. Also, God is faithful. It says that God who called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. What do we mean by the word faithful? It's someone who is strict or thorough in the performance of duty. You think about this as God, what God does. He is true to one's word, his promises, his vows. He's steady in allegiance or affection, loyal and constant, reliable, trusted or believed. In other words, God is the one who is thorough in the performance of his duty of looking after us and delivering all that he's promised us. God is the one who dots every I and crosses every T. Nothing gets overlooked by him. God does not miss any point or detail that is important to us, no matter how small or trivial we might think it is. Faithful means that God is true to his word, his promises, and all that he's vowed to do for people. God's faithfulness is not dependent upon what type of mood he's in or how much energy he's got for what he's committed to or what other commitments he's got on the plate. When it comes time to deliver on his promises, when it's time to deliver, God always delivers. God cannot overcommit himself in whatever promises he makes, regardless of how big or impossible that promise might be. God is never like this. Oh man, I've overcommitted myself here. It's never an issue with God. God never finds himself saying, oh man, I haven't got the money to help these guys. Whatever resources, whatever help, whatever partnerships we need, God is always faithful and will always deliver. Faithfulness is who God is. He has always been and will always be faithful. The third thing is this, that God is able. And God is able to shower all kinds of blessings on you. So in all things and at all times, you'll have everything you need. You will do more and more good works. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think or imagine, according to the power that works within us, according to the power of God that works within us, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How big can you think? How big can you plan? And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that. We think, oh man, I've got a big plan. He goes, yeah, it looks good. I can do better. For God to say that he is able means that he's saying that he has the power and ability to override all the obstacles and resistance that this world brings against us when it comes to delivering on his promises. Jeremiah 32, it says, O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. See, God spoke the universe into being, a universe that astronomers estimate contains more than 100 billion galaxies, and he created that just by speaking out. He just said, let there be. See, because God is all-powerful, he has the strength and ability to do whatever he pleases. No task is too big for him. He never fails and he never gets tired, frustrated or discouraged. Our all-powerful creator who is able cares for us. And King David wrote in Psalm 8, he said, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you've set in place, what are mortals that you should think of us, mere humans that you should care for us? The one who created the heavens and the earth by his great power, for some reason, he comes down and he cares for us. So no matter what challenges and obstacles we might be facing in the pursuit of the kingdom of God, God is able, God is faithful, God is good, and God can help us. Nothing is too hard for him. No need is too great for him to meet. No problem is too complicated for him to solve. No enemy is too strong for him to conquer. No prayer is too difficult for him to answer. If our heart and motives are right and we truly desire to seek first the kingdom of God, then there is nothing that will be too difficult for us to accomplish. So Paul wrote Philippians 4, he said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. A teacher at a time management class told the students to prepare for a quiz. He reached under the table and took out a wide-mouthed gallon jar and set it on the table. Next to the jar were a number of large rocks. He asked the group, how many of these rocks do you think we can get inside the jar? So the students took their guesses. The teacher said, let's find out. So one by one, he began to put as many rocks in the jar as he could until the rocks were level with the top of the jar. Then the teacher asked, is the jar full? And all the students said, yes, it is. He then reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of gravel. Then he dumped some gravel in the jar and shook the jar, and then the gravel filled the spaces between the rocks. He grinned and asked again, he said, is the jar full? The students were not about to be fooled a second time, so he says, well, probably not full. So the teacher nodded and said, you're catching on, you're picking up what's going on. And so then the teacher grabbed out a bucket of sand and poured it into the jar. Slowly the sand filled the gaps between the rocks and the gravel. After the sand settled, the teacher once again asked, now is the jar full, the student said no. He said, good. He was pleased that they understood an important principle. So then he picks up a big jar of water and starts pouring into the jar. And one of the students said, what's the point of all this? Someone said, well, there are always gaps, and if you work at it, you can always fit more into your life. 2024, we can always fit more into our life. But the teacher said this, no, the point of this is this, the point of this experiment is this. He said, if I hadn't put those big rocks in first, I would never have gotten them in at all. Would never have been able to fit in them at all afterwards. I sort of butchered that a bit because of my English. But anyway, the idea is this. If we don't put in what's needed to go in first, it doesn't matter what else comes afterwards. Nothing else is going to fit in. What can fit it in, but you're going to miss the important things. So we're at the beginning of a new year with a series on putting first things first. Looking at what God considers to be the most important things for us to attend to. There are so many opportunities and possibilities that are out there during the year that we can jump right into before we even do anything else. But God wants us to make sure that we put the right things in first before we fill up the rest of our jars. So the question this morning is, what are the big rocks we need to put in first before we add anything else? It's not a question for us to work out ourselves, but we need to come to God and say, God, what is it? What do I need to attend to first? What are the big rocks that you have for me that I need to put into my jar before I add all these other things? Because there's a lot of other things that want to come in and fill up your life. So as we go into 2024, let's be determined to do the first things first. To seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all the other needs will be met as well. Amen? Remember, God is good. God is good and does all that he does is good. God is faithful. God will not back away from the promises, and God is able, despite all the challenges that are out there. Let's pray this morning. So like we always like to do, it's an important time for us to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us in this message? See, we can sort of tell you what to do. What are the big rocks you need to put into your life? But really, it's got to be something that's between you and God to work out what are the first things you need to attend to in your relationship with God, in relation to the kingdom of God. What are the first things you need to attend to before you start to add all these other things in your life? There are a lot of things out there that can really become a distraction. But is it what God wants? Holy Spirit, help us. We get so out of focus at times, so distracted. We want to try new things. We chase after things that look right and feel right for us, but Lord, not necessarily the right things. So we ask, Holy Spirit, help us to seek first the kingdom of God. However way that looks for us in our environment, in our moment, in this time, teach us how to seek first the kingdom of God for this year, Lord, for 2024, moving forward. Help us put the big rocks in the jar before anything else. Help us get our priorities right. One of the first priorities that we have, friends, is to give our life to Christ, is to surrender ourselves. It's the first step. The first step before anything else. Without Christ in our life, without our surrender to Him as our Lord and Savior, we're just playing church and playing religion. But God does not call us to do that. God calls us to do the first things first, and that's the first thing is to surrender. The first thing is to let go. We've got to get to that place of trust. We've got to get to that place of faith to really have a conviction that what God wants for us is true, is right. That everything else is secondary. Everything else is an illusion without God. So I want to challenge you this morning, wherever you're at this morning. Have you come to that place of conviction? Have you come to that place of trust and faith that as you give yourself over to what God wants, that He will lead you into the right places, into a healthy and prosperous life, a blessed life, more than what you could do trying it yourself? So this is an opportunity this morning. If you want to take that step and commit yourself to Christ, I just want to invite you to come forward and pray. We're going to sing a song in a minute. But as we sing this song, this is an opportunity for you to come forward to pray and recommit yourself to what God has for you.